Thank you for listening to the Alliance Church podcast. We desire to connect you with God and one another, whether here in Wisconsin or around the world. Let's listen into this week's message.
Good morning, church. My name is Brandon. I'm the lead pastor out in our Hortonville location. I'm just super happy to be here with you right now. Before we get going, I want to say a special welcome to anyone who's joining us online. So glad you're joining us. I don't know where you're at, but I would like to imagine that you're still in your pajamas, maybe sipping a cup of coffee, maybe eating a piece of bacon, and frankly, I'm a little jealous. But big picture, glad you're joining us, and I want to say a very special good morning and howdy to my dear Hortonville Church family out there joining us live right now. God bless you guys. It's only been a week, but I miss you already. But here's the deal. You got Pastor Brian out there today, and so that's kind of a big deal. Here's what I want you to do. Since you got Pastor Brian out there with you, Hortonville, I want you to think of all your complaints, like the ones you've been storing up and just building all those, just anything that's been bugging you about the church or anything, and today's the day. I want you to just back the dump truck of your complaints right onto Pastor Brian's doorstep and unload that. He's going to love it. You're going to have a huge weight off your chest. It's going to be a win-win. Sound good? All right. So this morning we're going to dive into a psalm that celebrates God's presence with us. It's Psalm 46, and this is an important psalm. Because when life is uncertain and unsettling and unstable, I tell you, it's not so much what you know that matters most, but who's with you that really makes a difference. I spent a fair bit of time in the woods when I was a kid, and I tell you, the single greatest determining factor as to whether or not it was a good experience or a bad experience was always whether or not my dad was with me. I remember the times my dad was with me, and I just have no fear whatsoever. Wasn't worried about a thing, and I was just kind of free to enjoy the time and smell the pines and hear the wind blow through the trees and feel the excitement of seeing wildlife. But I tell you, there were the other times when I was walking through the forest by myself, and that was a totally different experience because I don't care how tough you claim to be, a forest is a creepy place to be when you're by yourself. I remember just thinking and getting worried and wondering, oh my goodness, what if I get lost out here? What if I fall and break my leg and just die out in this stupid forest? Or what if I get mauled by a cougar or eaten by a bear? And this was Washington State, so I had to keep an eye out for Bigfoot. And I would just get all in my head about it. And I tell you, if a squirrel so much to sneeze loud enough, I'd jump 5 feet in the air and hightail it out of there. The same environment, the same conditions, the same knowledge, two totally different experiences. And the only difference was who was with me. As you walk through this life, I tell you, nothing will influence how you live more than what you believe about God. Especially, like, is he with me or not? Is he for me or not? Is he powerful or not? And if you don't believe in God, then we can just end the conversation here. You can go get a head start on your lunch. But if you care to hear what the Bible has to say on the matter, I tell you the clear and consistent testimony of the scriptures is this, that God is indeed with his people. The God that's above all is somehow near to his people. But this is really easy to forget, isn't it? Why? Because you can't see God. Jesus explained it like this. He said, God is spirit. You can't see him, so it's easy to forget that he's with us. But here's the deal. Kind of like the wind, you can't see the wind, but you know it's there because you can see its effects. Just ask anyone who spent a couple Saturdays ago in their backyard sawing up branches from a tree that got knocked over, or ask anyone in Hortonville that lost power for a few days, they'll tell you, I know that wind, you couldn't see it, but it was real, all right. It was real. You can see its effects. You can see what it did. Now, we know that God is with us, not because we can see him physically, but because we can see what he has done. And when you really start to believe that God is with you, It's like actually, the God of the universe is actually with you. I tell you, it changes everything. But here's the problem. Our little hearts are forgetful, aren't they? So we need that constant reminder. God is with us. He's with us. God is with us. And Psalm 46 is designed to do just that. It's a song that was meant to be sung by God's people to remind themselves that God has been with them and he's with them and he's going to be with them. And they would thereby increase their faith. And so I want to read this psalm today. I want to just read the whole thing. And then what I want us to do is I want us to pray that God would help us understand this text and that God would inspire us all to live differently because of what this text has to say. And then I want to walk through each section of this text. And my genuine hope is that we would all be confronted by the reality of God's presence with us. So here it is, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. Would you pray with me now, church? So God, we've read this text and this ever needed reminder that you are indeed with your people, that you're the type of God who fights for your people and who wins battles for your people. And God, would you help us to trust you, to live like you are really with us. God, would you help us to stop living like you're not with us? I pray, God, that you would inspire us by this text right now. And I pray this in the precious name of your son, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. So you'll notice that this psalm is broken up into three stanzas, or three sections. So let's take them one at a time. And in the first section, I want you to see that God's presence gives us courage that doesn't make sense. And when I say it doesn't make sense, I mean it doesn't make sense in light of the world around us, and it doesn't make sense to the world around us. All right, so God's presence gives us courage that doesn't make sense. Verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You get that? He's our refuge. That's our protection. And strength, that's power. He's our refuge. It's like he's our defense, our strength, that he's our offense. Whether you're willing to admit it or not, you and I are weak. My goodness, we are vulnerable. And we need someone to be strong for us, to fight for us, to protect us. And that's our God. That's the type of God he is. And he's not some distant, faraway God. He's not aloof. No, the God who is over all is also near, right? A very present help in trouble. You hear that? An ever-present, an exceedingly near help in trouble. That means in times of distress, when the war is raging around you, when the world around you feels like it's totally spun out of God's control, this psalm reminds you that the Lord is with you. He's present with you. and he's strong, and you can trust him. That is our God, and that is our source of courage, right? Verse 2, it says, therefore, right? Because of the fact that God's with us, and he's a refuge, and he's our strength, and he's very present, he's with us. Because of that, we will not fear. Now, you notice that this courage has nothing to do with our circumstances around us, right? It's not like we will not fear because the conditions are favorable. No, it's we will not fear despite the fact they are so unfavorable. Therefore, we will not fear. Listen to how the psalmist describes the world around us. He says, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. See, the mountains were the symbol of safety and stability. Like, people would run to the mountains to escape danger. People would hide themselves in the mountains for safety. People would flee to the mountains to, say, escape a violent enemy army that's passing through. And so if these beacons of safety and stability start to tremble, we're in trouble. And then the sea, to contrast the mountains, the sea, it represents this unstable, tumultuous, chaotic, unsafe force of nature. And so with this idea of the earth giving way and the sea roaring and foaming and the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea and the sea trembling, or the earth trembling at the sea's swelling, what that is depicting is a world in which that which is stable is losing to that which is unstable. The unstable is winning. Conclusion, you should be afraid. That's the logical conclusion. We should be afraid. But, according to this at least, God is our refuge, not the mountains. God is our strength, nothing else on earth. God is our very present help in times of need. He's the one we run to when we're in danger. He's the one we hide ourselves in to escape any threat. God is our strength. See, God's presence, it gives us courage. It doesn't even make sense. Now, in the second section, I want you to see that God's presence gives us confidence that doesn't even make sense. Verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. So what's the city of God? He's not talking about Jerusalem here, right? Because you ever Google Jerusalem and look at it on a map, you'll know there's ain't no rivers flowing into Jerusalem. So what's the city of God? It's the place where God's people live. And you see that God lives there to the holy habitation of the Most High. So God, as the King, sovereign over all, dwells with his people in this place. And then it says there's a river flowing into this city that makes everyone who lived there go, boy, I sure do love living here. What on earth is that river? Verse 5 answers it. Right at the first part here, it says, God is in the midst of her. See, the river, that source of life that flows into the city of God, the place where God's people dwells, is the very presence of God. And what happens? What happens when God's present with his people? Here's what happens. You keep reading in verse 5 and then verse 6. She, and now that's the city of God, the assembly of God's people, she shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. You see, there's a night, there's a dark There's an unstable, the nations rage, they're loud and boisterous, and the kingdoms totter, and they're unstable. But God, because of his presence, makes his people stable. What happens when God is present with his people is that they find themselves on solid ground. They find themselves confident that we're gonna get through this. And no matter how dark and scary and dangerous the night is, no matter how unstable this world is around us, we have confidence that it ain't gonna last forever. Right? The sun will rise. He will help her when morning dawns. The sun's gonna rise. The sun's gonna come up, and you're gonna be able to see. When the night's gone and the day has begun, you will see that God has been fighting for his people all along. The Lord of hosts, that's the Lord of armies, angel armies. The Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts is with us. Verse 7, the God of Jacob is our fortress. I don't know what darkness you're going through. I don't know what fight you're fighting right now. I don't know what you're up against. But I do know this, that if you persevere with God, you hang in there with God, there will come a day, the sun will rise, and you will see that God has been with you and fighting for you and working on your behalf in ways you had no idea of. You will see that God has been with you every step of the way, no matter how hard it's been. That's our God. And so, according to this psalm, I don't care how crazy the world is, if he's with us, church, we can be confident that we're going to make it through anything. We're going to make it through anything. See, God's presence gives us a confidence which doesn't even make sense. Now, in this final section, I want you to see that God's presence gives us a calm that doesn't make sense. Now, this section, it'll start off with an invitation. Verse 8. It says, come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. It's an invitation. You come, you got to come and see this. You got to check this out. You got to look with your own eyeballs and see what God has done. And what are we supposed to see? How he has brought desolations on the earth. What on earth is that talking about? The image is of a battlefield. After the battle, and there's enemy bodies strewn about. There's broken weapons of war all over the place. Maybe there's smoke rising. And the idea is this. Can you guys come and see the way God has fought this battle? God's been fighting this battle. Did you know God fought this battle for us? That's the invitation. Come and see what God has done. And when you see what God has done, you realize the kind of God he is. When you see that God has fought a battle, you realize he's the kind of God who fights battles. Verse 9, it moves from look at what he's done to look at what he does. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Our God is a God who fights and wins battles on behalf of his people. And when you see that God has won the battle, you start to realize he's the kind of God that wins battles. Did you realize this? See, when we remember what God has done in the past, it reminds us of who he is in the present. And that reassures us of what he's going to do in the future. So how do you respond? What do we do with such knowledge? Verse 10, God's going to speak now. So far, God's people have been singing. And now God's going to speak to his people. And this is what God has to say. This is his command. He says, be still. That means cease striving. You don't panic. Release control of this fight. Stop thinking that it's all up to you to fight this fight on your own. Be still and know. That's talking about like in the deep part of your soul where grit comes from. Know that I am God. He says, yeah, I know the nations are raging. I will be exalted among them. He says, yeah, I know the earth's giving away around you. God says, I will. Not might. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. Does it sound like our God lacks any confidence on how this thing's going to go for us? No. I will be exalted. So be still. Yeah, the world around you is insane. Yeah, it's dangerous. And it's hard. And you got some scars. I know the world's terrifying. And I know it's unstable. And I know you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you do know that if you stick with me, you know what's going to happen forever, okay? Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. To illustrate this concept, I'd like to invite a buddy of mine to come up here on stage. You guys, the presence of God with us, it gives us a calm, confident courage that doesn't even make sense. And now, this is going to be cheesy. I'm going to illustrate this. This is going to be cheesy. Would you bear with me here? You use your imaginations a little bit. So this lawn chair doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. But I want you to imagine like the scenes depicted in this psalm with the mountains trembling and the sea roaring and the nations raging and the kingdoms tottering and so on and so forth. And so this chair isn't sitting on a stage in a church in Wisconsin. This is somewhere on a mountain, and there's a steep cliff where there's a huge drop off, and at the bottom of it the waves are crashing into the cliff, and with every wave it takes a little bit more of the earth out into the sea with it, and there's a huge avalanche coming down, and there's rocks taking out trees, and there's people just running for their lives and screaming. And then to top it all off, this is a war zone too. So there's guns and bullets flying over and explosions going off here, there, and everywhere. People are freaking out. Gas prices are like $7 a gallon. And everyone's losing their minds. And it's total chaos. And then you look over and you see this dude. And he's just cool. As cool as a cucumber. And what? On earth, Josh, what's going on? Are you freaked out?
Yeah, I mean, it was scary, but you know, what are you going to do?
No, Josh, but don't you realize everything that's going on? The mountains and the nations and the bullets and the gas prices, all that. Don't you know what's going on? Haven't you read about inflation, Josh? What's going on? How are you so calm? Hold on, is that a granola bar? Josh, how can you eat a granola bar at a time like this?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple, right? So you get the granola bar, you open said granola bar.
Wait. Josh, how on earth are you so calm right now?
Look, man, I know that God is with me.
Okay. How can you say that? Oh, what on earth tells you? How do you know that God is with you?
Dude, I've been through some stuff, right? 2008. 2019, 2020,
yeah.
2021, 2022.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. God's been with me through all of that.
So you're saying that since God got you through all that, he's going to get you through this too?
For sure, man.
Okay, well, I hope that works out for you. I'm going to go keep freaking out until that fixes something, but you do you, all right?
I will, man. I'm going to finish my granola bar, maybe have a cookout there.
God's presence with us gives us a calm, confident courage that doesn't even make sense. You give Josh a round of applause. I'd like to invite the musicians back up now, but I want you to hear this, that God's presence with us is a source of courage, of calm, of confidence, that it doesn't totally make sense considering everything that's going on. And it doesn't make sense to people that don't know God, but it makes sense through the lenses of Psalm 46. Now, I don't know, I have no clue what you're up against in life right now. I don't know what you're fighting for. I don't know, if you might be fighting for your marriage right now. You might be fighting a serious health battle. You might be just be fighting to pay the bills. You might be fighting for a relationship that is strained. You might be fighting for your own mental health. You might be fighting the temptation to give up on the ministry to which God has called you. I mean, you might even just be fighting to keep following Jesus. You might be fighting just to hang on to God for a day. Whatever it is that you're fighting for. This psalm calls us, God calls us through this psalm to remember two things, who God is and what he has done. See, when you do that, you put yourself in the position to trust him and give him the fight, and then you just get to sit back and watch him go to work. God loves to answer prayers like this when we say, God, it's just, I can't do this, but I know you can. God, I've been trying to fight this on my own, but I need you to take it. I need you to fight this thing for me, and you be still and know that he's God. And now that doesn't mean that you have no role in the battle whatsoever. Think of David. He still had to step onto the battlefield. Yet he still had to twirl his sling. He still had to launch a stone toward the giant. He still had a role. But we know that God did the heavy lifting in that fight, didn't he? See, well, that's what happens when you choose to be still and know that God is truly God. He's truly with you. You know, David, here's more or less what David said going into the battle when everyone thought he was insane. This puny little teenager going to fight this giant. You know what David said? He goes, yo, listen, I was fighting a bear. Oh my goodness. And the Lord delivered me from the bear. And then I was fighting a lion. And the Lord delivered me from the lion. So I just got to believe that God's going to fight for this battle too. I just got to believe that the God who delivered me from the bear and the lion is going to deliver me from this giant as well. You know, David, he was so confident it didn't make sense. And he was like, you know, this giant doesn't even stand a chance. They're like, who are you? And David's like, do you know my God? That's what happens, man. That's the posture that we have access to when we truly believe that God is with us. That's what happens when you remember who God is and what he has done, when you choose to be still and know that he is God and put the fight into his hands. The Lord of hosts is with us. So the musicians are gonna sing through a version of Psalm 46 that's arranged for our day. And as they sing this, would you let the words, the heart of this psalm wash over you? And I ask you, would you reflect on two things? One, would you reflect on who God is? And two, would you reflect on the battle that you're currently fighting? And then when David, when he invites us all to sing and join in, would you let the words that you're singing be your commitment to God, that you are putting the fight in his hands, that you're going to choose to trust him, you're going to choose to say, God, I'm going to be still, and I'm going to know that you are God.
Come.